What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, well, there we are. Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Hopefully tonight you're in a safe, dry spot. It seems like there's storms all over the country, besides for the Gulf Coast, which is about to get the full effects of Isaac. So I'm sure none of our Gulf Coast listeners are tuning in tonight. I hope none of them are. I hope everybody's somewhere safe down there. But good luck to everybody, and stay safe down there in the Gulf. I'm in Florida, where we've been getting the effects of Isaac the past 2 days, kind of slowing down now. And I guess I understand, Chris, you guys getting some crappy weather up your way.
Oh, it's just lovely. It's a mixed bag of everything. I believe a couple of inches within an hour or so. I believe Hampton, Newport News, they're really getting pounded.
Yeah, I saw a picture somebody posted on the old Facebook there, the storms you guys were getting. So, well, you be safe, too, tonight. Hopefully nothing will hit too hard around there. But.
Well, all of our plastic boated friends, get them out. Get them washed. It's fresh water. Get that salt water off.
That's right.
In a safe manner, please.
Yeah, so everybody be safe tonight. If you're indoors, stay indoors and sit back and spend the next hour or so with us. We got two great guests on tonight from the Lynn Haven River Now Project. We'll get to them shortly. Where everybody who will be attending the boondoggle, which Chris already hit the button on the boondoggle, that's predominantly where everybody's going to fish, so it'll definitely behoove you, I can say, maybe to tune in and listen to what they have to say about the Lynn Haven River. It's probably one of the main spots in our area to go to when we fish, so Lynn Haven River's got a lot to offer, and they're going to talk to us tonight about that and more about the Lynn Haven River, so we'll get to them shortly. So, like I said, everybody's still filing into the chat room, so we'll slow it down here for a little bit, because upcoming events, and all we got so far, we got our firefighters in the room and paramedics, Andy, Kevin, welcome guys, we got several guests there. Guests, you can log in with your Facebook or Twitter account, and then you can jump right into the chat room and ask any questions or get involved in what goes on in the chat room. Mr. Greg Chris, congratulations. We saw your post about your two boys there placing in the tournament you guys just participated in up north. Congratulations. It's really cool to see the young guys out there fishing. Mr. Lee, welcome. Salty Ham. Scooter. Hey, is that Scooter as in Scott Ng Scooter? I hope that is Scott, because Scott caught a big citation red drum the other day I saw. Tommy V's in the house. Matt.
I'd like to know who the Salty Ham is. Salty.
I don't know. Is that Ham? Is that Russell?
Identifiers as funny.
That's Scooter.
Yeah.
That's Scott Ham. Well, congratulations on that citation drum. Actually, Mr. Philip Rucker put that in his fishing report this week, so we'll get to that here shortly. So upcoming events. Well, I already started talking about it. I was going to wait a little while, but we're going to talk. We'll go ahead and hit the button, Chris. Let's talk about the boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Well, there you go. That almost says it all right there. But if you don't know, you've been living under a rock or first time tuning into the show, but the boondoggle coming up in October, not a tournament, there's no entry fee, there's nothing more than to get your butt to Virginia Beach and come fish with all of us and hang out for a 3-day weekend and go fishing. You can do it all here in Virginia Beach. We got fresh, we got salt, we go out in the bay, the ocean. Two of our local dedicated bridge fishermen, Kayak Kevin and Rob Choi, have volunteered to take people to the Bay Bridge Tunnel to fish for the species at the time. There'll probably be some sheep's head still around, some spade fish, who knows. It falls great here. So, but anyway, the one thing we are asking is that everybody who's attending and would like to go fish with those two gentlemen to get up with either of them, just to make sure you're rigged and ready for it, not to take anything away from any of you anglers listening in, but the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, and fishing at times can be a little dicey out there. So if you just bought your kayak last week and coming up, you're probably not going to be on the list to go out to the Bay Bridge Tunnel. Plain and simple on that one. What else have we got going on? We have dinner on Saturday night at the Salty Seas on Shore Drive. And that's why we need everybody to please go to yakangler.com/boondoggle and just put down that you're attending. We need to get a head count together for food. So we need to get that taken care of so we can give those people a good firm number. Chris, you want to tell them about the information you got today? Because I didn't really saw briefly in your text message for what you got about.
I briefly spoke to Tracy, and just for clarification purposes, because people had asked, there will be children's meals available for $5, and it's the standard, whatever is on their menu, children's meals. I believe she mentioned grilled cheese, chicken strips. It's not coming to me, but it'll be available for $5 per child right off the menu. So, and since we're talking about Salty Seas and we're going to be having our raffle there, I am looking for donations, people, for those raffle bags. All the money raised there will be going to How earmarked for the Tidewater chapter. I'm specifically looking for items for our women's and kids' bags.
Yeah, there you go. We're getting a lot of donations coming in, though, so should be great. But, yeah, definitely get some stuff in. We got Dave Harper is donated. Well, I think we're trying to get a good head count, too, on that. We need that, too. How many children are going to be attending? Because we're going to make sure that the kids get a shirt. Dave Harper, if you guys aren't aware of Gator Dave, I don't know if he's here or not. I haven't looked through the whole chat room. But Gator Dave does the tech shirts, the SPF 50 moisture wicking, real nice shirts. Chris and I have a couple of them. But he's going to do those with the Boondoggle logo on the back. And those are going to be for the kids, no cost. And we're also working on another thing with Gator Dave. And this is still in the works, but we're thinking about Gator Dave's going to bring up his, I don't know what the heck the thing is called, the machine that he uses to print the shirts. And he's going to have the tech shirts there, and he'll be able to do logos and stuff like that on the shirts. And it's going to be a pretty reasonable price if you know how much those shirts go for and then to have something printed on them. So, but the way that machine works, it's not like screen printing. So he can literally just upload an image and then puts the shirt in the machine, and it pops it right back out. So anyway, we're working on that with Dave, but definitely we need a head count for your attendance, how many people, and then also how many children, so we can get the shirt straightened out and we can get the food order straight. So please go to Yak Angler and get your name on the list just so we know. Dinner for adults, I think we're under $20, I believe we're around $15, $18, right, Chris?
Yeah, she's going to work out pricing now, but at the way it looks now, probably max is going to be
$18. Yeah, so it's a pretty good deal.
And it's going to be a smoked type of barbecue kind of pork butt kind of thing. So they're going to have the big grill out there, 24-hour cooking kind of thing, so should be great.
Yeah, and they're shutting the whole restaurant down just for us for a couple hours, and then afterwards they got a live band that we can all sit around and have a couple adult beverages or whatever you care to drink, get to meet some of these people. That's the great thing about this event for everybody. You got all these people you chat with in all these forums, you see on these radio shows and all that stuff, so you get to put names with faces. I mean, we got people coming. I was just telling our two guests, we got somebody coming from the Bahamas to fish with us. We have people coming from Texas. We're going to have a lot of people there. So definitely mark your calendar, October 5th through the 8th. If you can't make all 3 days, make one, make two. Then if you really got a lot of vacation time in your pocket that's burning to be used up, the week before is the TKA charity tournament. I know we've been talking a lot about that also, but last year we had over 250 anglers, and I don't see any reason why we won't have the same amount this year. Great prizes and raffles. Kayaks will go to Grand Slam Prize, which will be a Hobie Pro Angler again, and then individual species, children, freshwater, and female angler. First place for all of those are a kayak net. So that's a pretty good reason for you to come out and fish that. So, and then we always have more raffles than probably sometimes that we need to have, I think, because the raffles go on forever. Almost everybody walks away with something one way or the other. So definitely mark your calendar, and that's the week prior. So that's the weekend of the 29th is the weekend for the TKA event. Like I said, got enough vacation time to stick it around in Virginia Beach and fish for a whole week straight. So look forward to that.
And remember, bring your children. Both of those events are youth-friendly. They're our next generation.
It's not the end of the show. You can't say that yet.
Well, I'm just pointing it out. Why not now? I never get to say anything.
You can talk anytime you want.
Okay, then I'm going to push a button now.
All right, push a button while I get my notes together. All right, a couple more things, and then we'll get to our guest. I don't know if Joe's in the room. So here we go again. New people listening, if they don't know this.
No, I don't think Joe is here. I just pushed the button because I can.
So another upcoming event I don't want to miss, because I told them I would make sure that it gets broadcasted, is the Chesapeake Bay Kayak Anglers Tournament, which is coming up real fast, September 7th through the 9th. That's Upper Bay, Chesapeake Bay, though, up in the Maryland area. So don't get confused. It's not down at our end. It's in the northern part of the bay. If you go to ChesapeakeBayKayakAnglers.com to get more information on that event. Saw the other day, I think they're up to like 100 registered. I believe Chuck Wren's going to that, one of our local guys. So go check them out. There's a bunch of people up there. So I think they're third year doing that event. Yeah. So unless you guys got some upcoming events you'd like to share in the chat room, you can always call in the show. If you got anything you want, let us know what's going on. Give us a shout. We'd be glad to have you on. Plus, you can call in tonight if anybody wants to talk to our guests or have any questions regarding the Lynn Haven River, but that phone number is 714-816-4727. So give us a shout. Let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. What's going on in the chat room, Chris? I missed anything yet? Everybody
no,
good over there?
Tommy B is having issues. He can't hear anything, but, you know, it's just Tommy B. That's okay. I bet
you turn his speakers on.
I was going to say, if we started talking about croaker, I bet you all of a sudden he could hear us.
Croaker or wild turkey, one of the two would get him woken up. Very cool. Well, we'll go ahead right now and jump into our North Carolina fishing report. As always, brought to you by the great people at Get Outdoors and Mr. Philip Ruckert. Once Philip got here. All right, Scott Ng, get your ears pierced because you're in it. Citation Red Drum is heating up, Scott. Excuse me, Philip says. Raleigh's own Scott Ng landed a 41-inch drum this past week in the Pamlico Sound. Boat anglers are getting multiple hookups each trip. So the Pamlico Sound seems to be the place to go for some big reds right now. Inshore, the speckled trout bite continues well both on top water and suspending baits. He said the flounder bite has really turned on hot, the best in many years. Two powerboat anglers landed over 100 this past weekend drifting mud minnows. The bulk weren't keepers, but the sheer numbers are encouraging signs. Sounds like our red drum population in Virginia Beach. Not great size, but the numbers are very encouraging. And then on the freshwater scene in North Carolina, daylight hours are shortening. Look for school shad in lakes that have them. If bass aren't actively busting them, throw jerk and suspending twitch baits in and below the balls. A lot of times the largest bass are lurking below bait balls waiting on an easy-to-eat injured fish. So there you go. That's our North Carolina report. Thank you, Philip Ruckert, and all the great people over at Get Outdoors in Greensboro, North Carolina. Philip's always on time getting us a report every week, so we really appreciate that. All right. Well, if I didn't say it already, welcome everybody in the chat room. I've been watching you file in there. Appreciate it. Sit back, relax. If you're anywhere near this bad weather, take heed and get inside. Make sure that you got everything buttoned down. Looks like Isaac's going to play a little bit of havoc on the Gulf. I don't think it's as bad as it was going to be, but still looking pretty rough down there for all those people. So, like I said earlier, if anybody's from the Gulf area, be safe and good luck. All right, I'm trying to read the chat room here to make sure I'm not missing anything.
No, you know, yes, Seth, that is a bird you hear. I'm sorry, I'm trying to shut it up, but sort of doing something unkindly. You're just going to have to deal with the bird.
Yeah, so locally, fishing report. Fishing's been really great in Virginia Beach. I guess now in the storms, you can get out there or the wind's not blowing. It seems like every time you turn around, it's windy or storming. But definitely fishing's been really good in our area. Everything, the usual summertime species have all kind of showed up and working well. If you're not out and catching small red drum, then you're probably not fishing in Virginia Beach, it seems like, anymore. But that's an encouraging thing. After the red bite that we haven't had for the past couple of years, to see all those juvenile reds showing up. I don't think, you can go out and almost not catch one now. So, but little reds got to grow up to become big reds. So as long as everybody is putting them back healthy, and I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but as long as they don't find their way into all the nets outside of Lynn Haven and places like that, when they're moving around, then we should do well next year, this spring, and even this fall. I'm starting to hear of some bigger fish showing up. Reds grow at a fast rate, so it won't take long until we get some slot fish back in the recreational fishery in Virginia Beach and around there. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of little reds. Speckled trout bite, I still know that's very well. Northern, more northern than Lynn Haven area so far. They'll start coming down probably in another month, just in time for the tournament and boondoggle. Everything holds consistent. Bridge Tunnel's been doing really good, still seeing nice spade fish. Nice sheep's head. I've still heard a lot of small spades in there, but doing well on that. Flounder bite's been real good, so you can pretty much go out and target the usual suspects this time of year and do pretty well. Tommy V hasn't given me an up-to-date croaker report, so I don't really have much to say about that, but maybe Tom will check in with us soon and let us know how the croaker are going. Oh, you know what, Chris? I almost forgot, and I want to get to our guests, but we haven't been on the air since our last Thursday event at the Paradise Ponds, have we? No, we have not.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so we just need to give a shout-out to all the gang over there. I don't have a list in front of me of all the people and supporters, but a group of us, Chris, myself, our daughter Amara and her little friend, the Tidewater Howe chapter. Like I said, I'm not going to start mentioning names because I don't want to miss anybody. So, but if you were there, you know who you are. We had a great day. The event was called the Warrior Welcome. There was wounded vets, warriors from all over the area. We had them from Richmond. I don't know. Like I said, I don't have all the intel in front of me, but we had a great turnout. It was more of a turnout than even the coordinators of the event had predicted. It was fabulous. If you are friends with us on Facebook, First Landing Kayak Fishing on Facebook, you'll see the pictures we put up there. I don't know what to say about it other than it was a fantastic day to see these people come out. They brought their families. They got to try everything from archery to kayaking to fishing. We had a little fly fishing station set up for them. They fished from the banks. There was pedal boats out there. I mean, it was just a great day for those people, their families, our men and women of the armed forces, injured, who were able to get away from their everyday life, whether they're in the hospital or in their transition warrior units, getting ready to be released from the military and go back to civilian life. It was really good for them to get away. And I'm going to recant real quick, and I know if you've been reading our stuff, you'll see the story of one individual that came out. I was doing a little fly casting lessons. I wasn't doing anything major, but just trying to give people an idea of what fly casting was like. I'm no great fly caster, but I just wanted to bring it out there and show people. I had a young man come up to me in a motorized wheelchair who had no mobility of his legs and very limited mobility of his arms. And he said, "I want to try that fly rod." I was like, "All right." So I got him set up, and he couldn't really hold the rod well because of his arms, his injury. He couldn't grip the rod tight enough. So when he'd go in his back cast, he would lose it. He's like, "Do we have any way we can get it taped to me?" And I was like, "I don't know." So make a long story short, I tried to find duct tape. We tried everything in the world. Finally, we pillaged somebody's first aid kit and got some tape out, and we literally taped the rod to his hand. And once that rod was taped to his hand, that young man started back casting and forward casting. He started having nice little tight loops. It was inspiring. I spent probably, how long, Chris? An hour and a half, almost 2 hours in the sun with him.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I was walking around, checking on other areas, you know, turning to everybody that said mom all the time. And 2 hours later, I come back, there's that gentleman, and I'm telling you, there wasn't no shade. They were out in the middle of the sun. I mean, I was like, really? Still going at it? I mean, it was... But then Tommy V would have just an equally inspiring story about that same gentleman. We're talking about somebody that lived his life to the fullest and to what life has to offer. Absolutely incredible young man. I can't say otherwise.
Somebody's calling.
Yeah, it was. It was very incredible. It was very inspiring. And just to see the dedication that he was not going to give up. So he could start to figure it out. And later in the day, he got into a kayak and they had him paddling around on the water. And it was just, like I said, it was just a great day and a great moment. I'm glad that we were a part of all of that. And there's plenty more stories to tell from that weekend. But so kind of made me think sometimes when you say you can't do something, you probably can, because after watching that guy and seeing what he would do, actually I had a couple people that were confined to wheelchairs that came up to the fly fishing thing, which I thought was kind of funny, because as people would walk by, I'd ask them and they kind of looked at it like they didn't want to do it, but two of my earlier people were in a wheelchair, so just to let you know, you can get out there and probably do it too, anything you want to try after seeing those people. So enough about that. I just wanted to share and thank everybody who put that event on. We had a great day, a great time there, and look forward to future events with that those organizations. There were so many there, I can't even, like I said, begin to do. But I think we've kept our guests holding long enough. They're sitting there patiently waiting for this show to start and probably get on with their Tuesday evening. So Lynn Haven River, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be where everybody who's coming to the Boondoggle is probably going to do a lot of their fishing. And anybody locally and everybody in our chat room, probably 80, 90% of you tonight, seems like a lot of you are local. You know about the Lynn Haven River and know what a good fishery it is. But there's a lot of work that goes into keeping that body of water that way. And it is a great organization called the Lynn Haven River Now. And I have a long list of events, or not events, I shouldn't say that, of what accomplishments that organization has done. And instead of sitting here and just reading for it and telling you guys, we're going to spend some time with Helen. Helen, you there?
I am.
Let me pronounce your last name the wrong way. So you go ahead. Your last name?
It's Coons.
Coons. Helen Coons and Kevin Du Bois. Kevin, you with us?
Yeah. Good
well,
to be.
First off, thank you guys for spending some time with us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Very cool. So how long ago was the Lynn Haven River Now, organization, is that fair, started?
Well, we are actually celebrating our 10th year as an organization this year, so that's pretty exciting for us.
Very cool. How long have you been with Lynn Haven River?
I've been with Lynn Haven River Now for 5 years.
And Kevin?
Yeah, about the same, I think. I've bounced around on a few different committees, but about 5 years.
Very cool. Just to let our guests know, Kevin is a local angler also, so we got a fishing side of the group here. So if anybody has any questions about anything that these two are going to be talking to us about tonight, you can either call the number that we mentioned at the top of the show and or put your questions into the chat room for us. So we'll be glad to pass it along to the two of them. They are not online, so if you got anything you want to pass along or questions or anything to say, like I said, put in the chat room or give us a call so we can get it to you. So what's going on now? What's the hot topics right now? We'll get to some of the past things, but what's burning right now for Lynn Haven River? Lynn Haven River Now. What's now burning now? Now. Did I say now enough yet?
I'm sure we'll say it a lot more before the evening's over. There's a lot going on right now. As an organization, we have a lot of upcoming events. One of them that we're really excited about is we have a Citizens Wetlands Workshop coming up in September, on September 22nd, where we have a class that we will, in the morning, talk about wetlands and wetland impacts and, you know, what people need to do if they're interested in restoring wetlands on their property. And then in the afternoon, we will actually go do some wetland activities in our brand new, not ours, but the City of Virginia Beach's brand new natural area, Pleasure House Point. And that's probably been the hottest topic in the Lynn Haven now for several months, actually many years.
Yeah, it's been a burning thing for a while in that part of the city. What was it initially? It started, and just to give a little history, I know I'm kind of getting sidetracked. I probably should have started with more of the history, but it's kind of something I'm pretty excited about too. That whole Pleasure House Point thing. But it started at the Indigo Beach Project? Is that correct?
It was Indigo Dunes. It was a development project that was proposed by the Sandler brothers, but that was not actually the first development project that was proposed there. And I was not with the organization when that first one was being explored, but I know that it came up against a lot of resistance in the community. And that was actually, I think, before Lynn Haven River Now was an organization, and the community around Pleasure House Point really rallied to keep that from happening.
Yeah, years ago, actually the owner wanted to build a marina back there and dredge Pleasure House Creek out to provide a marina. It started to go through the permit procedure, but got quickly shut down just because of the amount of impacts that would have been associated with the dredging needed to get boats all the way back up in that creek.
Sure.
And then the second development that came along was actually the guy that owned Bamboo Hut, Stanley Tseng. He also wanted to build a bunch of condos back there, and he started going through the permit process, but that was fought by the local community because the work that he was trying to do was not consistent with the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act. So then he sold it to the Sandlers, and the third go-around was that Indigo Dunes proposal, and it was the same thing. They were trying to fit in more development than the site really could hold under the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act. So basically they got shut down by citizens who fought those applications at the local level, at the local wetlands board, at the state level with the Department of Environmental Quality, and also at the federal level with the Army Corps of Engineers. So, you know, because of local activism, they weren't able to get any of the necessary permits that they needed for development. And, of course, you know, then the economy crashed, and they got into a bunch of trouble financially because they had developments all over the country that they couldn't get moving, and the city was lucky enough to purchase the land. So.
Right, right. Well, I had a quick, I think I told Helen the story before, but at the last part there, the Indigo Dunes, then it was and the Sadlers that owned it at the time, we had one of our members of the kayak club who had came out of Crab Creek. She turned right like she was going to Pleasure House Point, and she parked her kayak right there on that little beach because she had to fix something in her boat. And I don't know if you guys remember when they used to patrol. I don't know if he outsourced the police department. There was patrolled by police. Do you recall that? No, anyone?
No.
Yeah, and she got a ticket. The story was they literally gave her a ticket for trespassing on his land.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, and that, I just recall that being like, she brought the ticket to a meeting. We had one of our kayak club meetings, and she brought her ticket there. So I was like, holy cow, just got out of her kayak just to fix a couple things. But, well, I'm pretty excited about that. I know a lot of people in our area are really excited. I'm sure that Lynn Haven Now had a lot to do with that and helped the city. I know there's also with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, they're going to build some type of green building on that property. Is that true?
That is true. That is true. The building that they've proposed to build is an education center, and the building design is supposed to, it's actually a challenge that's been more popular on the West Coast called the Living Building Challenge, which means it'll be a zero-impact building. They will produce all of their own electricity. All of the materials will be locally sourced. And it's actually a more stringent building requirement than any of the LEED buildings.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah, I saw the...
They say that they're going to have community space available for local clubs to meet and have meetings. So it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out, because I know there are a number of fishing clubs locally and citizens groups that are always looking for, you know, nice meeting space, and that would be kind of cool if you know, some of the kayak clubs and fishing clubs would be able to use that community space. It'd be really nice setting and you know, really apt for those types of activities. So
yeah, that's pretty good. I did not know that, and that would be really cool. We'll have to have another boondoggle in Virginia Beach once that's all done, and we can rally everybody right there.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
So it's a little game we play here, Kevin and Helen. Seeing this is your first time attending the show, every time I mention the B word, Chris gets to press the button. So
I gotcha.
That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I got to be careful when I throw it in, but she's quick with the button on there. So she's got a list of buttons there, too. There was a sheep call earlier, and remind me maybe sometime when we're not on air, I'll tell you the story behind the sheep call. But Well, it's not that bad, but anyway, it's funny. I always, you know, I laugh about this every week we do our show, because there's so much that goes on that I feel bad for people who podcast it, because they're like, what are these people? So I try to give a little reasoning behind the madness that we have fun with every week here. But anyway, if you're not having fun, you shouldn't be doing it. That's my motto with anything. So if you're not having fun with it,
I want you to know, Chip Gibson, our godfather, he's with us right now. He just sent me a private message. He said, sheep, hit the button. I was like, okay.
See? Did I hear sheep? See? So you'll have to bear with us with the comedy routine and the seriousness side, you two. So just hang in there. So, like I said, I kind of jumped around, but just because to me, and I know it's a lot of our listeners, the kayak community, because Pleasure House Point, that whole area going back into Bayville, and that's a, you know, we love to fish that area. One of the reasons I believe we like to fish it a lot is just the simple fact that it's not very navigational for boats, so it kind of is our own little Idaho, so to speak, just because it's very kayak friendly back in there. So it's kind of why I brought that up to the topic. And I know we've had some incidences in the past with that area, like I said, about individuals getting tickets and getting yelled at from the beach line there when it was still owned by whichever owner it was owned by. So I guess I'm going to backtrack a little bit now. So we already know that about Lynn Haven now and how you guys were instrumental and you helped in doing that. So what are some of the other things that Lynn Haven River now is doing, or what is your mission statement, as you put it here? Like, what all is going on for our listeners with Lynn Haven now?
Well, our overall goal, Mark, is to basically restore and protect the Lynn Haven River. And we do that through identifying and reducing source pollutants. We work to educate and engage the community and partner organizations, and just work to restore critical habitat, like one of our big initiatives now is working with residents to restore some of their shoreline areas with living shoreline projects. We've also been involved in building oyster reefs. We have our own oyster reef that we've built, which is the AB Island Reef, which you can see if you're sitting out on the deck at Bubba's or over at Dockside Inn. You can look out and see that reef. And we also partner with VMRC and the Army Corps of Engineers and the City of Virginia Beach, and have worked with them to put in lots of restoration and conservation reefs along the Lynn Haven.
Kevin, I got a quick question then. How many private little oyster reefs do you know of that you fish and you don't let anybody else know about?
I don't think there are that many secrets, you know. But, without a doubt, when I fish the Lynn Haven, I'm looking for two things. The first is wetlands. You know, I particularly like the marsh islands that are around the mouth of the river. And if I can find a wetland island that has an oyster reef nearby, that's like gold. And again, I don't think that's any secret. You know, serious anglers know that, you know, those types of things, wetlands and oysters provide structure. That structure draws, you know, prey items like shrimp and crabs and bait fish, and you know, where you have an abundance of prey, that's where you're going to find the predators. So, you know, for those folks that are coming in for the boondoggle that aren't familiar with the river, I mean, that's what they ought to be looking for.
Sorry.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle?
Welcome to the family, Kevin.
Getting together in
I set you up there.
Over 58. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And look, I'm helping Amara stitch. She dropped the stitch doing everything at the same time.
Wow. Knitting and working the switchboard. You're awesome, honey.
Here you go, boo.
Thank you.
Very cool. All right, so we were talking about the oyster restoration. What other things are you all into? I'm trying to read off my notes here that you sent me, which were, I have to admit, for all the guests I've ever had, this is the best notes and detailed information. Usually I get stuff that looks like it was written on the back of a napkin with a beer stain on it. So you did a good job.
I know, retriever, Mark.
No, you did a good job. If you guys didn't show up for some reason, I probably could have done the show just by reading how well it was. But anyway, very cool.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that we've been real excited about just since the fall of this past year was we initiated a program called the Pearl Homes Program.
We live in one of those. I said Chris has made ours a Pearl Home. We live in a Pearl Home.
Awesome.
That's great. What kinds of things are you guys doing that qualified you as a Pearl Home?
It's your cue, Chris.
I have a rain barrel. I actually attended your rain barrel workshop.
Wonderful.
We have an extremely water-friendly front yard, virtually eliminated all grass. We have a teeny tiny strip of grass left, and I look at it every day to see how I can eliminate that. I drive a smaller economical car. We scoop the poop.
Excellent.
We proudly display the scoop the poop stickers on our trash can. We've done so many. I took one of your classes. Our whole upstairs has got additional insulation. Mark, help me. What else? I
was just thinking how the water-friendly small lot of grass, as well as it may be good for the Lynn Haven River now, it's more for the angler couple that we are, so the less grass we have to cut, the less time we spend at home doing yard work, and the quicker we can be on the water, really, that's the motive behind the grass.
Nice.
Less yard work means more fishing time.
It's just that you do them. That's what's really important. It's been a big deal for us. When we started that Pearl Homes program and started recognizing local residents just like you guys, we anticipated excitement about the program, but we thought maybe within a year we'd have about 200 Pearl Homes, and we've been very surprised. Since November, we're already up to 600 Pearl Homes.
Wow.
So I hope that if people are interested in becoming a Pearl Home, they'll visit the website, which is www.lrnow.org, and fill out an application to see if they qualify to be a Pearl Home, too.
Very cool. With that being said, you guys can answer this question for me, and I'm not getting off topic, but like we just had, I was told it wasn't a red, red tide, it was a mahogany tide, and algae blooms. How much is all of that affected by the fertilizers? Is that true? Is that where a lot of that comes from, and say in Lynn Haven, because of all the runoff of all these Chem Lawns and Scott's fertilizer overgreened yards that are around the area? Is that where a lot of that problem comes from? Is that true?
That is where a lot of it comes from. It can come from dog waste washing into the river, which also that's also where the bacterial pollution comes from, primarily is dog waste and Canada geese, but that's a whole other problem. But fertilizer is a big part of that issue. People often don't fertilize properly. Many people don't get soil tests done before they fertilize, and so they put improper amounts of fertilizer down and also may put nutrients down that their lawns don't even need. Primarily, in our area, our problem nutrient is nitrogen, and the phytoplankton or the algae that grow in our section of the bay are nitrogen-driven. So when we have an excess of nitrogen washing into the river, we get too many of the phytoplankton blooming. And as I'm sure you all know, when that happens, we end up with big anoxic zones or dead zones where there's no oxygen, and that's when we end up with very weak marine animals, fish and benthic animals, or end up with fish kills.
Gotcha. Very cool. You know, you always hear a lot about why the reasons are, and I hear a lot that's the reasons. You know, one of the big players anyway, you know, sure, the dog poop and all the other things. But when you paddle around or boat around in Silent Haven, you see all those almost fluorescent green, bright green yards. I can only think of how much fertilizer must go into keeping those yards so well green or whatever the case may be. So just wondering how much that affects it. So, and then how does that play into the oyster restoration? Because I know the oysters are a great filter of the water, and that's one of the main things of why we need them so much. But is that good, bad, or indifferent when it comes to those factors in the water quality?
Well, it definitely can impact the health of an oyster reef because unlike fish, oysters can't move. So if an oyster reef happens to be caught underneath an algal bloom and the oxygen is depleted, it can kill the entire oyster reef. And one of the other reasons that all those fluorescent green lawns are a problem is that we have destroyed the wetlands in front of them that can provide any filtering capability. All of the hardened shorelines with bulkheads along them, and there's no wetland grasses to absorb any of that polluted runoff, all of that runoff goes straight into the river. One of the things that we recommend to people are to reestablish a buffered edge between their lawn, and if they have a bulkhead, put a buffer in between their lawn and the bulkhead to try to capture some of that runoff before it has a chance to reach the river. And then also we're working with a lot of residents who are actually interested in replacing bulkheads with a more naturalized shoreline and actually restore some of the wetland edge because a lot of our wetland areas have been destroyed in the lineage.
Okay. Interrupt you because I have a question coming in the chat room scrolling right by me. Somebody would like to know, what is the filtration rate for Lynn Haven Inlet?
Ooh.
I'm not sure I know that.
I don't know for the Lynn Haven, but I think one of the sort of the popular facts running around is back during colonial times that there were so many oysters that they could filter the entire Chesapeake Bay in 2 to 3 days, and now it's more like
a year, I think.
Yeah, it takes almost a year to filter the Chesapeake Bay just one time with the amount of oysters that are out there. So that's one of the things. We have a fall festival every year. This next one's coming up in October. And usually what they'll do is they'll have a fish tank there and they'll have a bunch of dirty water and then they throw some oysters in and you can actually see the oysters within a matter of an hour clear the tank by filtering all the water. It's pretty impressive to see what they can do if given the chance. And again, that's one of the reasons why Lynn Haven River Now, the Army Corps of Engineers, City of Virginia Beach are all looking to expand oyster restoration in the river. And again, for all the anglers out there, I mean, they ought to be supporting those efforts because oyster reefs are fantastic places recreational angling. So, you know, every oyster reef that gets built out there is a bonus for fishermen.
Okay, when and where is that fall festival? Is that information up? Do you guys already have that? Somebody's asking about that fall festival you were just talking about. So do you know the dates?
Information up on our website, I believe. I know that there's probably some information on our Facebook page, too. But we're really excited about this fall festival. The date for it is October 13th, and it'll be from 11 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. And it's going to be at Pleasure House Point, which
all
we're
right.
really excited about.
Very cool.
Rob,
somebody has. Oh, go ahead.
What organizations help build Oyster Reef?
Well, the City of Virginia Beach, the Army Corps of Engineers, BMRC.
We do. Yeah. Lynn Haven River Now.
Lynn Haven River Now.
We just, built an oyster reef out across from, what's that, Redfish, Bluefish, that restaurant. Right there.
Oh, that's right.
Lynn, right at Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle, right there where Long Bay.
Right across from there, that island that splits the two channels.
The oyster
castle.
We just built an artificial oyster reef right there, an experimental oyster reef.
Wow.
Very cool.
It's the first time that that type of structure has been used in this area. They're called oyster castles, and they provide a lot of interesting crevices and areas for oysters to eat. So we're really excited to see how they do.
All right, well, we're still on the oyster topic, then you can answer because I'm not aware, but I had a customer who I worked on her house. They lived back more up in Cavalier up Broad Bay, and she did the, where they get the little tiny oysters and grow them, and then somebody comes and claims them. Is that part of Lynn Haven River now also, the bed?
That's the Chesapeake Bay Foundation runs that program.
Okay.
And I can't remember if they give you the float and you have to buy the oysters, or they give you the oysters and you have to buy the materials for the float. But once they work it out, you go through a training class, you raise the oysters over time, and then you're required to give the oysters, the grown oysters, back to the Bay Foundation, and then they deploy those live oysters out on one of the different oyster reefs that they have in the Lynn Haven River.
So they stay in the Lynn Haven River where they're raised. They don't take them and use them anywhere else.
No. Ones that are raised in the river, they keep the river.
If you guard on the Elizabeth River, they'll be returned to an Elizabeth River reef. If you do it in the Northern Neck, they'll be returned to a Northern Neck reef.
Gotcha.
I have one I know for sure in Allentown. I've been out there with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation vessel, and we were putting grown oysters out on a reef back there and in a cove back in Allentown. So.
Yeah, I know where that cove is.
I know my daughter in school raised oysters, and they put those along the shoreline at First Landing State Park. Anybody that's boated up and down Long Creek along First Landing State Park has probably seen those oysters along the shoreline. And,
right.
And were all raised by school kids and deployed along that shoreline. So they're doing good work, and I think the Corps built like 90 acres of reef, and they're looking to do, you know, at least that much more in the near future. So.
Yeah, I mean, I get pretty, like, the oyster thing. I know it means a lot to the inlet and to the Lynn Haven River and to the bay, period. So I remember what they also use the shells the shells themselves, too, right? There's places locally that they keep their shells, restaurants, and then who comes in? Is that Chesapeake Bay Foundation that gets them?
No, that's us.
The shuck shells? That's y'all?
That's us. We collect shells. Many of the restaurants here in Virginia Beach. And we cure those shells, and then when we partner with the other organizations to build reefs, that shell is used to build the reefs in the river. Oyster shell is the best substrate for oysters to attach to. When they're at one point in the oyster's life, they're free swimming, and that's when they're tiny, tiny little oysters, and they recognize oyster shell as a good place to settle. So the more shell we can put in the river, the more good substrate they have.
Somebody
asked,
and I'm really not sure if you can answer that. Joe asked, what was the cause of the recent red algae in the local inlet?
Just too much nutrient input is usually what causes that to happen. And it could just be, we've had such a lately, we've had a lot of rain, and when we have a lot of rain, we get a lot of runoff, and all that runoff ends up in our local waterways, and I don't know for sure that would be the cause, but that's usually the cause.
Just for the record, Joe, and I'm sorry you two who aren't looking at the chat room, but Joe was asking that question, asked it three times, and I believe that's how I started, Joe, when I asked them about the mahogany and red tie and about the fertilization. So quit getting all excited and writing in color and capital letters. If you were paying attention to the show, you would have known we started that whole topic back then. That's our sheep guy, so I can jump on the call.
Did you say sheep?
Oh, shoot. Oh, wow. All right.
Still knitting, too.
Yeah. Gotcha. Good job. So, Kevin, I'm going to ask you an angler question because we have a room full of anglers. How much has the Lynn Haven River improved, and how much improvement have you seen within the fishing side of things?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. I mean, you know, I'm sure all the anglers in your chat room and listening to your show know that, you know, it can vary from day to day and year to year. I know I used to be able to catch gray trout on a pretty regular basis and some pretty good sized ones, and that hasn't happened for a long, long time. So, you know, sometimes the variation in the fishing conditions is not necessarily a good indicator of water quality. But, you know, one of the things that you do find is in areas where wetlands are restored, you do see a greater diversity of fish species and a greater abundance of fish species. So, you know, there's no question that restoration of the habitats that these fish use, whether it's wetlands or oyster reefs or the underwater grasses, the more restoration you have, the better it's going to be. It's able to even out sort of those boom and bust cycles. You know, the croaker fishery here is always strong. We had a really good speckled trout fishery last year, and I know talking with some friends of mine who are guides up the bay, they said it's been the best speckled trout fishery they've had in the last, you know, 100 years that they could ever remember. So hopefully when those fish move down here in the fall, we're going to have a really solid fall speckled trout fishery this year. And like you mentioned, that there's puppy drum everywhere, smaller fish, but those are going to grow, and hopefully we'll get into those 10 and 12 inches this year are going to be 25 and 26 next year. And I tell you what, that's some spectacular fishing in the Lynn Haven when you can catch, you know, red drum up to 30 inches, because those fish, you know, they can't go deep, so they just go out, and that'll make your reel scream. It's real exciting fishing. We've been having really good flounder fishing in the river, so I'm just excited. I just wish I had more time to get out there and get on it, but the fish has been real good.
We feel you on that one. We have another question. What can the angler do to benefit the waterways?
Great question.
Well, I think, as Helen mentioned, probably the biggest thing is just personal responsibility. You know, improving the way you manage your own property to you know, reduce the amount of dog waste, you know, reduce the amount of fertilizer, take personal responsibility for the runoff that comes off your own property. That's probably the easiest thing and the thing that most people have the most control over. You know, and then I would say get involved in groups like Lynn Haven River Now and support the work that they do. You know, if you're not an oyster scientist or a wetland scientist, you know, you don't have to be in order to support groups that have that expertise that are out there trying to restore habitat, improve water quality. You know, we had somebody come to our fishing club and talk about oyster restoration, and it was a really good presentation. And afterwards, I know somebody came up to me and said, you know, that was kind of a dumb talk. Who cares about oysters? And I was like, man, if you're an angler,
wow,
you better care, because
right. Those
are great places to fish, and they improve water quality. And, you know, when you go out and fish the Lynn Haven and it looks like chocolate pudding, you know, that's one of the reasons, because the sediment is all stirred up. And, you know, if we had more oysters and the water would be cleaner, and we might have more underwater grasses. And so it just boggles my mind when I hear anglers that are not very smart about the environment, that they don't even care about it, you know, because they don't make the connection between a healthy environment and more fish. You know, more fish means more fun. So, you know, we really need to get active. And like I said, first, I think, taking personal responsibility, and then second, you know, supporting organizations that are going beyond and doing the things that we can't do ourselves.
Very cool.
Of course, I would like to thank, and I speak for majority of our fellow kayak fishing friends, that moment we paddle out there in our kayak, we're doing an extremely environmental friendly thing. Because guess what? We're burning our own fuel, nobody else's.
That's right. That's a good point.
And quite a few of us, I'm venturing to guess, I'm looking at the majority of our friends to even step it up a notch. Most of the people, and I'm taking a wild guess, 80% of the people that are in the chat room right now are paddling a Made in USA kayak.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I do with my kids, I live on a little tributary on the river, and when we go out paddling, you know, we're always picking up trash too. You know, we're always sort of scouring the edge of the marsh and picking up, you know, soda bottles and cans and especially plastic bags of things that can harm marine mammals. And so, you know, even though we didn't put it there, we always try to bring home at least a little bit of trash and try to make the river a little bit cleaner each time we go out. So I know sometimes that can get frustrating when you see so much, but, you know, I always try to bring some trash back. And, again, that's a simple thing. It, you know, and I know kayak anglers are real good at that kind of thing. But that's another thing that people can do to just provide little bits of help, you know.
Right.
I always say in the Marine Corps, if it doesn't grow, it goes. So you pick it up, take it with you.
Right.
That's right. And we do sponsor river cleanup about once a month in the summer and every couple of months as the weather cools down. And we have our next river cleanup will happen on September 15th, and it's an on-the-water-only cleanup. So all of you kayakers who are not out fishing that day, or if you want to come out and help us clean in the morning and then go fishing, it starts at 9 o'clock, and we meet at the Hutton Circle boat ramp right behind Pet Boys off of Virginia Beach Boulevard.
Right. Very cool. We'll put that information up. And besides for your website, lrnow.org. You also have a Facebook page. All of our listeners can go over and like your Facebook page. I'm assuming that's, I know I'm a friend of yours, but it's just Lynn Haven River Now. Is that what the Facebook page reads?
Yes.
Yeah. So they can go over there and give you guys a like, and then they'll be able to keep up with all the dates of upcoming events, things you guys have going on, so they'll be aware, like the Fall Festival, that cleanup you just talked about, and anything else you got coming down the pipe, we'll know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, we're getting close to 9 o'clock, and I know everybody's got something else they probably want to do tonight, too, besides for sitting here. We really appreciate you guys giving up your Tuesday evening and sharing with us everything you have. And don't be afraid to ever call in and just say hi and let us know if something's coming up that you think we might be interested in. Besides for us getting our own information, we'd love for you guys to call and to share it with us, let us know what's going on, how things are out there, and if there's anything us kayakers can do locally, we'd be glad to help. We will put the cleanup date, like I said, on our website, and I'll put it over on TKA's website, too. I know a couple of you guys from Pirates of the Lynn Haven are in the chat room tonight, too, so hopefully they'll share that info so you guys can get some of us kayaks out there to help pick up the trash on that cleanup day.
Excellent.
Well, very cool. Well,
hey,
you're also welcome. Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for all the work you do with the wounded service men and women. I think that's real important, and I appreciate your efforts in that regard.
Well, we appreciate that. One of the things we enjoy doing here, we have a large following here with the Heroes on the Water. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not, but our Tidewater chapter leaders in the chat room, we take great pride in taking care of those young men and women who are taking care of us. So thank you, and I'll take that for all the people listening tonight because I know a lot of us are involved. So we appreciate that. I was going to say, what was it I was going to say? I don't know. I lost my thought there. But anyway, I was going to say, and you two are more than welcome to come out to the Boondoggle. Come out for, you know, if you guys want to come out. Kevin, I know you fish. If you want to get in the kayak, we have plenty of anglers in the group. That I don't know if you have. Do you have a kayak? I don't know if you,
I have two of them. As a matter of fact,
you better carry your butt over to yakangler.com and sign up tonight after this show because we want to see you at the boondoggle.
And I have an American-made kayak, too.
What do you paddle?
Excellent.
She's asking, what do you paddle?
I have a Wilderness Systems Manio.
Very cool. Talking about Wilderness, Chad Hoover is going to be at the boondoggle.
No, we're trying to get people to come to the boondoggle, honey, not run them away.
Oh. Is he going to be autographing his book?
Yes, if you ask.
I'm sure he will. He'll autograph anything if you ask him.
I know that's true.
Chad's a great guy. That's one reason I joke. We love because we kid because we love. Well, definitely, all of you are welcome to come to the boondoggle. We'd love to have you out there. If you don't want to participate in the water, maybe come over to Salty Seas and drink a beer with us or something, hang out. So you know where it's at. It's your backyard, too. So come and join us at the boondoggle.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. No, thank you, and thank you for all your work. And like I said, we'll put up all your links. And anytime there's something we can do for you, don't hesitate to ask.
Great. Thanks,
you. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Thanks again. Take care. I don't think I have anything else, Chris. What else do you got? Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. Oh, you want...
All right, one more time, just because.
One more time.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
The other thing I forgot to mention with the boondog was don't forget to go get your kitty rods, your little Snoopy poles, your little ice rods. We're going to have that biggest fish on the smallest rod tournament. So 50-50, we're going to have a pay-in. I think, I don't know if we set an amount. Has anybody set an amount for the pay-in? I don't remember. But anyway, we're going to have a pay-in. 50% will go to the winner. The other 50% will go to Heroes on the Water. So besides for loading all the other gear and essentials that you're going to be bringing with us, there you go, Chip, I'll say that in a minute. All the other gear, make sure you bring your Barbie pole, Snoopy pole, whatever it is you want to bring. And the 2012 Kayak Angler's Choice Awards are up. I'm still taking nominations. So Chris and I aren't eligible to help make nominations or be in the running, but everyone else go up to Kayak. What is it? What's the link? There it is. yakangler.com/choice. You can nominate everything from guides, products, kayaks, magazines, fishing clubs, forums.
Radio host.
Is that a category?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they can. We can't get nominated for anything this year.
No, we can't. We're out of the loop this time around. Right. But anyway, go over there and nominate your favorite whatever it is in the categories that they have put up there, yakangler.com/choice. I believe it's one more week. Yeah, I think it ends on the end of the month, and then they're going to tabulate everything and put it up for nominations closed midnight Friday. There you go. Thanks, Chip. I'm glad you're here tonight. Keep me on track with that one. Very cool. Speaking of Chip, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night to Mark Wheeler, Thursday night, Chip Gibson, and bring it back around on Monday to Redfish Chuck down in Florida. So that's all I got. Thanks to everyone for tuning in tonight. Thanks to our guests. Everybody that's in a storm path of one storm or another, be safe. We'll see you next Tuesday. Chris, get us out of here, please.
Yes, to all of our friends further south, please be safe. Nothing is worth it. Just stay safe. Anyways. Take your children fishing. They're our next generation angler. Remember, safety, safety, safety. It's hot out there. Good night.